All Analytics Radio. This is Jim Conley. I'm editor of allanalytics.com. It seems that every day we hear or read about someone who views the Internet of Things as the digital equivalent of penicillin, or somebody else who sees it as the 21st century black plague. You would think that it would either work miracles for our business in our home lives, or it would peel open our deepest secrets for the whole world to see. And as with any technology concept, the truth lies somewhere in between. Today, we're looking at the Internet of Things, the progress that it has made in business, where it goes in 2017, and also the challenges that remain for its effective use in the enterprise. Our guest today is Dima Tokar, who is co-founder and chief technology officer for the research firm Mach Nation. He joins us to discuss the status of IoT adoption and to evaluate where organizations are finding success with IoT technologies, but we'll also look at where benefits may be elusive and where risks may hide. Welcome to A2 Radio, Dima. How are you today?
Hey, Jim. Thanks. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you. On a lovely rainy day here in the Northeastern United States. Before we get into the discussion, let me add a couple of notes for the listeners. You can post questions for our guest and comments for your peers in the live chat box on the All Analytics streaming audio page. I'll share as many questions as I can with our guest during the live audio session, and then we will address more during the chat session at the bottom of the hour. Dima, for starters, tell us a bit about Mach Nation and what you do.
Thanks for having me, Jim. So Mach Nation is an insight services firm, so an analyst firm. And what makes us unique is we're focused exclusively on the IoT market. So it's we've co-founded the company roughly 3 years ago to focus just on IoT. And even within IoT, we're focused on industrial and enterprise applications. And we look at analytics, applications, middleware, all sorts of key components of what enables you to take an IoT idea and turn it into a solution in an enterprise. So we are advising companies all over the world with various challenges, and we provide all sorts of market insight into what IoT is about, what trends are happening, and what technology everyone should be aware of and what technologies people should understand.
Okay. Where have you seen IoT making inroads in the business world, say, over the past year or so?
So where we're seeing the most traction today in the enterprise space is looking at mostly industrial applications of IoT, such as factory, automation, oil and gas, areas where there are lots of manual processes, where there are lots of challenges with geography, geolocalization, and things like that. And we're seeing IoT applying valuable technologies to reduce the difficulty with solving a particular challenge, offering better business models, and reducing costs all around. So that's probably the most exciting area. Another one is areas such as fleet management, rail management, telemetry data that can be used to support all sorts of moving objects and help enterprises better track these and provide better quality of service to their customers.
Now, have you seen areas or applications where IoT held a lot of promise, but we just haven't seen the real progress yet?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of areas like that today. I think a lot of them tend to be in areas where there is a lot of more regulation or privacy and security concerns. And so, for example, I think healthcare is a great example of an area where there is a great amount of potential. And we're heading in the right direction, but due to regulation, for good reason, and all sorts of policies, privacy, security, and otherwise, it takes a little bit longer to sort of get the ball rolling. And so that's an area where the technology is mostly there, but we're still sort of as a society figuring out how to approach IoT in the right way so that we do things the right way for the first time, and we don't have to sort of go back on some of the promises that we've made based on sort of jumping too soon to a conclusion that we're not quite ready for.
Well, the healthcare thing is interesting because I think everybody wants it, particularly in terms of, say, remote healthcare, where you don't have to go to the doctor for them to, you know, see that your blood pressure is stable or that, you know, your sugar levels aren't too high. You don't want to drive an hour, you know, drive half an hour to the doctor and then wait for however long in the waiting for, in the exam room for a 5-minute visit. So I guess, you know, there's a ton of potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of potential there. If you think about developing markets, there's quite a lot that healthcare can do that it simply cannot do today due to the costs. And so, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of potential. And so I think the potential isn't what's stopping us today.
As you look into 2017, what strikes you as, you know, growth areas for IoT or even new applications that really haven't had any great public discussion yet?
Yeah, so I think one of the, you know, sort of interesting areas of IoT, and it's sort of a specific area, but I think it sort of spans a large number of industries, is in the area of analyzing both operational data and machine data and joining those data sets together to drive new insights. So, for example, we can sort of talk about machine data as something that is collected by a sensor, so a temperature reading, a humidity reading. And then there's all sorts of data on the other side, on the operational side of monitoring how the devices are operating to make sure that the uptime is appropriate, to ensure that we can predict failure. And so I think there's a lot of data that's already being collected today in both operational and machine side of things, but we haven't quite gotten to the point where we're able to take advantage of all of that data and get all of those insights out and be able to actually make meaningful business decisions from that data. So I think 2017 will be a big year for taking a lot of IoT data that is now being collected from a myriad of sensors, devices, and being sent up to the cloud or into the fog. And I think in 2017, we'll actually start to make a lot of value, get a lot of value out of that data, and to be able to actually take a certain set of information and drive a meaningful business decision that we wouldn't be able to do without that data in the first place.
Tell me if I'm right in my definition of or understanding of the progress that IoT has made. Some of what you described in terms of machine data, for instance, has been available in machine-to-machine dedicated internal networks. Now we're starting to leverage the internet to get that data, which now opens up new locations, like you mentioned, oil and gas. You know, remote locations. If you can provide an internet connection, you can start bringing that data back into a central location. You know, analyzing it better, and so now you're broadening the impact of IoT, and you're coming up with new types of applications, as opposed to what we had before, which was, you know, that internal network that tracked the performance of a machine. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you're touching on some interesting trends that are in fact accurate. So I think you're right. So the idea of machine data is certainly not novel. I mean, we've had that for decades. We've been able to collect machine data and make some type of judgments based on that data. And where I think IoT takes things to the next level is in the ability to aggregate that data and make predictive or cognitive decisions based on that data coming from all over the world, if you're a multinational organization, or from a localized site, if you have a sort of a presence in a certain region. And I think there are some challenges that you mentioned, well, you send that data up to the cloud. It's a little more complicated than that. And I'm sure there are certain challenges, you know, based on the industry. So for instance, in healthcare that we touched on earlier, a lot of the challenges is how do you transport that data to ensure that you're keeping patient data, patient privacy in line. And for something like oil and gas, there are connectivity challenges of getting data from remote sites. So there are challenges along the way, but I think you're right. We've had data for a long time. Now there are technologies that have enabled us to collect that data in aggregate to process it either at the very edge of the network on sort of gateways and make sense of it there, or to send it up to the cloud to do sort of a macro meta analysis to be able to predict, you know, failure rates across a variety of machines spread across the large geographic region. So it's more about being able to process data in large quantities and to be able to make meaningful insights from that data at a sort of in the amount of time where that data is still valuable. So in fact, 10, 15 years ago, maybe we could arrive at a certain conclusion, but maybe it would be too late to prevent a failure. Today, with the power of cloud, we can actually make those analyses quickly enough to be able to actually change the course of a machine's action to prevent an injury to a worker or to prevent downtime that would otherwise be unavoidable.
Now, you touched on something before when we were, you know, in passing in terms of security, and that you said that you want to do it right, you know, the right way from the start. And one of the things that I always wonder about is how many organizations seem to treat IoT as sort of an add-on for their existing infrastructure and with all the vulnerabilities that are already in place on that network. Doesn't an IoT-based network really present a greenfield opportunity to do it right with the proper technologies and the right procedures, the right processes, right from the start, and then just have maybe a last mile connection to the existing infrastructure.
Right. That's a great point. So I think with IoT, you're right. We have quite sort of a good amount of information about how to design networks, how to design infrastructure in a way that's secure. We've arguably accomplished that in the IT world to a degree where that's not a major concern of enterprises today. Today, enterprises don't think about whether they should have a mail server or not have a mail server based on security concerns. They simply follow the best practices we have in the industry. And so IoT has a lot of components that come from the IT world of things. So, you know, still networks and data transfer and encryption. So a lot of those things will be carried over, and hopefully enterprises are starting from where sort of we've left off in the IT evolution. But I think where some of the challenges lie is that there are sort of a lot of unknowns with IoT that we can't simply take from IT. And the reason for that is a lot of the processes, a lot of the people, a lot of the technologies that we're using to collect data, a lot of the employees that will not have access to potentially sensitive data or have access to triggers and buttons that can make certain decisions or affect certain machinery. We never had that before. We sort of had connected machines, but they were very isolated and siloed. And today, with IoT being effectively an extension of the internet, in many cases, if a machine can now be remotely controlled or if a vehicle can be remotely controlled by a authorized user, it means that it can also be controlled by a hacker. And so that's where we will use IT practices to the best of our ability, but there will still be many unknowns as to how to perfectly execute these types of strategies to make sure that you don't run into these pitfalls. So I think hopefully we're using a lot of sort of the greenfield advantage as much as we can, but I think there's still a lot of learnings that will simply have to happen by doing. And I think we'll have to have a version 1.0 and a version 1.1 of an IT solution. And then only after that will we start to discover what we actually have to do to sort of perfect and enhance that solution to meet all of the requirements that maybe we didn't anticipate from the beginning.
Well, speaking of learning moments, we had one last month when internet provider Dyn, was hit with a denial of service attack, you know, apparently with the hackers using IoT devices. What did we learn from that? I mean, Dyn was basically an innocent victim, as were all their customers whose sites went down. What did the device manufacturers and the integrators do to tighten security on IoT gear, like, you know, consumer things like webcams and cable boxes?
Right, and it's a big issue, and I think one of the key takeaways is that it gives IoT sort of a negative impression for a lot of people that are not necessarily well versed with what IoT really means. And so for the security breach that that caused the outage. So from what we know, it seems like it was caused primarily by consumer IoT devices, which is interesting because we're talking, you know, in this discussion, we're talking primarily about enterprise applications. But due to the scale and scope of the consumer IoT devices that are available today in the market, they play a major role in the network infrastructure. And so there are a couple of, you know, issues with that breach that sort of are alarming. And it's in that the reasons those machines were so easily hacked was due to reasons that we already have discovered in sort of unsolving the IT world. So for instance, a lot of those devices used default passwords that were very easy to guess, and they were not randomized from one device to another. So in other words, if you sold 100,000 of these cameras, most of them will have the exact same password, and that password will not be secure. So it is very easy for a hacker to simply assume that most people aren't going to change the default password to something that is more secure and take advantage of that and basically create a botnet. So in essence, this hacking attack was a yet another evolution of the botnet, but instead of using laptops and desktops, it was IoT devices that were prone to hacking because of the very, very poor security measures that were implemented by some of these lower end manufacturers that make some of these webcams.
One question from the audience here that came in on the chat board. Is the security of industrial IoT devices currently significantly better than it is for consumer devices?
Well, I would say in general, yes. And that is because in the consumer space, we don't really have governing bodies today that ensure that consumer IoT devices pass a certain level of rigor from a security standpoint, from a resiliency standpoint. But in the industrial setting, there are actors in the company that are responsible for uptime. So we had those people before. These aren't new individuals. These are operations managers that need to ensure that certain areas of the business stay up. We have CSOs and security personnel and IT personnel that are responsible for ensuring that devices that are deployed in an industrial IoT solution meet certain levels of rigor. Now, it is a valid point in that not all organizations are going to have sufficiently trained personnel in security in order to be able to mitigate some of these threats. But at the very least, in the industrial setting, sort of more is at stake. Whereas in the consumer setting, the only thing that's at stake is the reputation of the brand of the webcam. But if it's made by a cheap manufacturer that is sort of a one-hit wonder, they don't really care so much about that brand. Whereas on the other hand, if it's a reputable company such as Google or Apple, they have much more invested in making sure that their in-home devices are more secure. And I would say that one of the challenges that we have in IoT is that we have a lot of organizations that are going from being a engineering firm or a manufacturing firm where the most high-tech IT piece of equipment they had would be something like a mail server or a CRM, and they're transitioning into the world where they have connected welding machinery or connected vehicles that operate in factories. And there are challenges in ensuring that those firms can hire the right types of people in order to be able to oversee and maintain the IoT solution to ensure that it's not only built and deployed, but that it can operate in a way that doesn't actually become detrimental to the business by exposing it to various security threats.
Yeah, that's interesting because we're already seeing a number of large companies, you know, historically manufacturing companies that are now in the data business as well. Companies like John Deere or General Electric. They're not just selling refrigerators and tractors, but they're selling all the data that goes with it. So it's a change in the corporate structure. And, you know, fortunately, I think companies like that have security in mind, but maybe some of the smaller companies that are trying to make that move have to tread carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, one of the interesting things about these transformations of these businesses that have existed for sometimes 100 years is that they're going from being a company that offered a product that they sold and then the next time they would talk to their customer would be when they have a newer version of that product, such as a tractor or a welding machine or an elevator. But now they're finding ways to create business models that allow them to provide a product plus services business model. So an elevator manufacturer can be talking about a maintenance contract that allows them to monitor the state of all of the elevators operated in a certain building and provide proactive maintenance for those elevators to make sure that you never see that out of order sign posted on an elevator. And so there is a very interesting transition going on, both from the sort of business model perspective, but also, as you said, within the organization. So in order to support a services business, you know, that touches marketing, that touches sales, that touches engineering, that touches all sorts of departments that maybe not aren't traditionally associated with IoT. You sort of think of IoT as a maybe OT and IT realm, but in order to offer a service, if you're a product company, you have a lot of perhaps new departments to create, such as a support team that can take calls for, you know, a piece of software that isn't working as expected. So it's a very interesting time for a lot of these businesses as they shift from being sort of guys that ship things in boxes or in crates to actually offering a fairly high-touch business model that was generally relegated to more of the SaaS types of companies.
I'm curious where the ideas are coming for IoT-based applications. You know, I think a year ago, you know, you did hear some rumblings from, you know, boards of directors and CEOs saying, hey, we have to get on this IoT thing. But just by the nature of it, it would seem that maybe the best ideas are coming from people on the lines. Is that accurate?
I think, you know, it's a combination of both. You know, I think it's important to, you know, when we talk about to companies about IoT strategy, one of the things we suggested, it's important to have both perspectives, sort of the, on the one hand, the executive perspective that allows you to essentially drive a certain vision, but also the line worker perspective, where you can essentially understand what the current challenges are and what needs to be done in order to improve a certain process or to reduce a cost or to improve worker safety. So it's a combination, you know, it's partly the ability to understand what's at stake, but also to have that executive drive to be able to allocate the right resources to make sure that the entire organization evolves rather than having a piecemeal solution that will be siloed within a certain part of the organization that will have a hard time growing because it hasn't been built to scale.
Those ideas coming from the front lines would seem to justify HR stepping in with some kind of bonus program.
Absolutely. I mean, I think idea programs have always been a very valuable way to, you know, drive innovation. And I think they should absolutely be extended to IoT ideas. And in fact, I think a lot of improvements that come from those folks are, in fact, arguably IoT ideas. They're oftentimes way to make things easier to do or to reduce error rates. And oftentimes those are done with sensors and data aggregation and analytics.
Now, if you get called into a company that's where they have identified a business need, and they know generally what they'd like to do with the IoT. What's the first do and the first don't that you would share with them?
Yeah. So I think you identified the first two key steps. So one, the first step that you mentioned is identifying an opportunity. So looking at the business and looking at where IoT can make a difference. And then the second one is one that I mentioned earlier, which is incorporating IoT into the strategic vision. So it's seen by all of the employees of the company as something that the company is poised to do. And so I think the next step, the next logical step from my perspective is to plan for a minimum viable product for something to prove out that the concepts work. And I think where sort of the pitfall is that you have this grandiose vision and the executive simply says, okay, let's just do this and let's roll it out across the enterprise. And while the ROI seems like it would make sense, while the technology may be there, there are a lot of challenges that we discussed earlier about sort of training and technology and security that it is important to be able to execute something on a small scale while at the same time planning for that version 2.0, which will roll out across a larger swath of the organization. But I would say the key strategy is to have a pilot or some kind of a proof of concept that can sort of prove out both the sort of the business efficacy as well as the technical efficacy of the solution, and at the same time plan for the next steps that allow you to grow that solution to expand across the business.
Now, a couple of years ago, we started seeing some IoT efforts fail, and they seem to fail because nobody really built in a workflow. In other words, nobody said, here's who, what people or what departments alerts are going to go to. Nobody built in what action those people are going to take when they get an alert. Have organizations learned that lesson yet?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag for that. So I think one of the things that we've seen in 2016 is that organizations are becoming savvier about the types of questions that they ask us about IoT and the types of sort of thinking that they've already done prior to having the conversation with us. And I think some of that is a testament to sort of thinking more in depth about what does this implementing this IoT solution mean for the entire organization as a whole, as well as what it means for various business units. And I think you're spot on in mentioning that a lot of the reasons why we sort of have all of these, many of these IoT solutions sort of stuck in this pilot or siloed mode is that because the bigger picture hasn't been considered enough in the thinking process, and organizations have built something that works in an isolated instance, but they haven't quite figured out how it fits into the organization as a whole, as well as how it interacts with other IoT solutions that may be built by other business units. So, you know, we sort of talk about IoT as a sort of this grand idea where you might have a fleet management solution and a safety solution and a CRM and all sorts of different solutions talking to each other. But what we've had so far is many of these IoT solutions being built in isolation. And as a result, when a certain business unit stands up an IoT solution, it isn't always using the same standards or protocols or architectural design that is being used by other IoT solutions in other parts of the business. And then you sort of run into an issue where you have to manage independent technology stacks, which is highly expensive for an organization to do. And as a result, it slows down the progress of moving from sort of initial phase to a production phase.
Dima, as we're approaching the bottom of the hour here, let me just ask one final question. And that is one of challenges going forward. If you had to ask the IoT supplier side to solve one particular problem, what is most pressing?
So from our perspective, you know, one of the things that we see is that IoT solutions are still rather complex and require a lot of integration. And so what we see is that generally to stand up an IoT solution, you are working with roughly 5 to 7 different vendors, everything from the device to the connectivity to the middleware to the analytics to the integration. And so my word of advice to the vendors would be to look at ways to simplify the integration challenges that enterprises face and make it easier to deploy an IoT solution without requiring a very, very sort of heavy investment on the integration side. And I think that in and of itself will help drive a lot of progress because it will make it much easier for enterprises to consider IoT solutions without requiring a significant engineering team on site in order to be able to support it and in order to be able to stand it up before you can sort of even prove out the value of that solution. So I think integration is a key area where complexity can be reduced. And I think in 2017, we'll see quite a lot of improvements from both big vendors as well as small IoT startups in alleviating some of those pain points.
Great. Thank you, Dima. This has been a great discussion, very informative. As we wrap up the audio portion of our discussion, I invite the audience to stay with us on the live chat, where Dima will spend a few minutes addressing some of your questions and comments. I do notice that there's one interesting discussion here about intellectual property issues and patents regarding IoT technologies and applications. So I want to conclude. I want to thank Dima Tokar of Mach Nation for being with us and sharing his thoughts today. Thank you, Dima.
Thanks, Jim.
And thanks to all of you for joining us and to SAS for sponsoring this event. This has been Jim Connolly for All Analytics Radio and UBM Tech. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.